Today's first reading comes from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, and then also verses 21 through 26. You can find this scripture passage starting on page 110 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers. Together the crowd numbered about 120 persons, and said, "Friends, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit through David foretold concerning Judas, who became a guide for those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us to his resurrection." So they proposed to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed and said, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was added to the 11 apostles. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture this morning comes from the book of, or the letter of, 1 John. If you'd like to follow along, it's on page 227 in the New Testament. Hear now the words of John. "If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony: God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our third lesson is the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John 17, verses 6 through 19. You can find that in your pew Bible on page 105. And this is Jesus praying. "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am now asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they also may be sanctified in truth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm going to start here at the podium because I have a few things to read and then I'll move aside. I want you to think specifically about this passage from John because I think it's an especially important one. It is part of a larger section of what is known in theological circles as Jesus' high priestly prayer. You see, although we didn't read the whole thing, here Jesus is praying to God the Father. And this takes place right before he and the other apostles go out to the garden at Gethsemane. And so many people think of this prayer as Jesus' farewell prayer. There are lots of things you could consider when thinking about this passage, but I want you specifically today to think about Jesus' hope and his prayer that his disciples might be sanctified in truth. Because I believe that God is praying the very same thing for each of us here today, that we might all be sanctified in truth. The dictionary tells us that to sanctify means to make holy, to set apart, to consecrate. To be sanctified means to be purified or freed from sin. In short, to be sanctified means to be more Christ-like, to be more like Jesus Christ. God wants each of us to seek the truth and to become more like Jesus. Well, that's a pretty tall order, to be more like Jesus. If you would think that, you're right. It is a tall order. But I believe that it is both harder than we know and easier than we know to seek to be sanctified in truth. Today, among many things, is also an important day in the United Methodist Church, because as it turns out, on this day, the 24th day of May, in 1738, that's 271 years ago, on this day, John Wesley, whose picture, Larry, is on the cover of our bulletin. John Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist movement, had a major turning point in his spiritual life. John Wesley was born in 1703. He was ordained a deacon in 1725, and yet for the first 35 years of his life, he was not completely sure of his faith. He was not assured that he had been saved by the acts of Christ. But on Wednesday, May 24th, 1738, all of that changed. Somebody once gave me the complete works of Wesley. It's 12 volumes. This is one volume, and it looks very impressive on a bookshelf because it fills up a whole lot. Well, I pulled down the works of John Wesley to find his journals. He was a fanatic journaler. He wrote down about almost everything that happened in his life. And if you turn to May 24th of 1738, you find these words. In the evening, I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About a quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for my salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. I began to pray with all my might for those who had in a more especial manner, despitefully used me and persecuted me. I then testified openly to all there, which I now felt first in my heart. You know, if you are around Methodist circles very long, you'll hear people banter around these terms. They'll talk about Aldersgate Street, and they'll talk about my heart strangely warmed. Well, this is the stuff, this is the tradition of our understanding of sanctification and redemption because of Wesley's words. And I don't know about you, but for me, this gives me an awful lot of comfort to read these words of John Wesley, because it means to me that if John Wesley doubted his faith that much, there may be hope for my doubt as well. If John Wesley was unsure of the pious acts that he was doing, if he was unsure about his knowledge of Holy Scripture, if he was unsure about whether or not Christ died for him, then I believe we're in good company. That reading from the Acts of the Apostles also has what I believe to be another good description of being sanctified in truth. You think about that. Peter was standing up in front of 100, 120 people, and he was leading a business meeting, if you will, to try to figure out who ought to take the place of Judas Iscariot, who, as you will remember, betrayed Christ and killed himself. And in this case, they had two criteria for these candidates to become an apostle. One of them was, obviously, that it had to be somebody who had been with Jesus from the time of the baptism of John in the river all the way up through Christ's resurrection. And the second criteria for this person was that it had to be somebody who was willing and able to witness to the resurrection of Christ. So there were two that fit this bill. They were both men. Even though there were many, many women who were following Christ, this was a patrilineal society, so they had to pick a man. One of them was Barsabbas, and the other one was Matthias. Now, it was pretty common practice in these days that if you wanted to invoke the Word of God, if you wanted to enlist God's help in making a decision, you drew lots. Now, lots could have been dice. They could have been sticks, for that matter. They could have been stones. But they had to be some physical manifestation so that you could tell how God had chosen. And so they drew lots, and Matthias was picked as the next of the 12 apostles. Why did they need 12? Anybody know? The 12 tribes, exactly. 12 is a complete number in the Hebrew Scriptures. There were 12 tribes of Israel. They needed 12 apostles to keep that number going. So Matthias was picked, and clearly he was then separated, set aside for holiness. He was ordained, if you will, to be an apostle. He was sanctified in truth. Well, after all these readings, after all this thinking, I believe that there are three lessons that we can get from these stories. Now, in the case of John Wesley, and in the case of the apostles for that matter, these folks were doing nothing more than attending to their roles as followers of Jesus Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, John Wesley had gone to a society meeting, and these were a way of organizing people. People met in churches. There were a lot of folks, but they also met in societies and in classes. And in the society meeting, you went to study Scripture, and you went to try to figure out how God's Word could be applied to your life. So John Wesley, you heard the reading. He didn't even want to go that night, but he did. I know a few people who have the same approach to Bible study on Thursday nights. I'm giving Ken a hard time. He did go to Bible study, and there he felt his heart strangely warm. He was touched by God. In the case of the apostles, they were having a staff parish relations committee meeting of sorts. They were trying to figure out who the next leader was. They were trying to elect, by acclamation, the next apostle. What this tells us is that more often than not, When we go about our duty as being good Christian people, that is likely the time that God will touch us. When we go to a committee meeting, when we go to a Bible study, when we go to choir practice, when we go to Habitat for Humanity spaghetti dinners, when we go to give away clothing in the clothing giveaway, these are the times that often, as Wesley called them, these means of grace are the opportunities God uses to touch us. The second lesson, God takes care of sanctification, not us. There's nothing we can do or believe or think that brings us any closer to God. Faith is a gift from God. We get it through God's grace. God will sanctify us. God will set us apart. God will make us holy. God will free us from sin. The third point. There is yet another gift from God. When we believe fully in Jesus Christ as our Lord, God gives to us eternal life. Eternal life happens right here and right now when we give ourselves to Christ, and it is a gift, plain and simple. There's nothing we can do to earn it. My brothers and sisters, it is that simple, it is that complex. When we open ourselves and get out of our way and give ourselves to Christ, God will then change our lives. It might be that you're sitting there in church and your heart will be strangely warm. It may be that you're in a committee meeting listening to Becky or in a choir practice listening to Don, and you will feel that God has touched you. Or maybe not. Almost guaranteed it will be a time when you don't expect it. Almost guaranteed it will catch you by surprise. But if you give yourself to Christ, He will sanctify you in truth. Amen.